Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
It don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
All right. Praise the Lord. Again, we're so glad you could join us. Those that is watching on YouTube, those that are listening on Blog Talk Radio. Like I said, this is a new technique we're trying because sometimes on YouTube, you could see us, but you can't relate. So, you know how if you want to call in, if you want prayer, you can't do that on YouTube. However, on Blog Talk, we have a live call-in number, so get your pen, write this number down if you have need prayer, if you have a question, or anything. We're going to open the phone lines. Usually we'll teach, and then the next 30, 40 minutes, we open the phone lines. So our guest call-in line is 319-527-6058. Again, our guest call-in number is 319-527-6058. So now we're going to open up with prayer. Although we heard prayer earlier, we're going to open up with official prayer, and then I'll turn the floor over to my husband, Bobby Montgomery. Amen.
Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we come before you.
Yes, sir.
Father God, we ask that you continue to bless the program. We ask that you bless everyone that is listening on tonight.
Yes.
And Father God, we come against every hindering spirit that would desire to come against the program. We bind that out and we cast it away in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we thank you for everyone that is listening tonight.
Yes.
And Father God, those that are listening, we pray that they are blessed, receive deliverance and healing.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus,
amen.
And now we will go directly into our subject, which is how to demon-proof your house and temple.
Amen.
And the temple we are talking about tonight is your physical body. Your physical body, according to the word of God, is the temple.
Yes.
But we want to deal with the physical house that you live in and the physical temple that your spirit and soul resides in.
Amen.
So we're going to go directly into the word of God at this time, and we're going to pull up a lot of scriptures. And in order to demon-proof your house or get foul spirits away from you, you have to know what they are and how they came into your presence. And sometimes you can unknowingly call them to you. You can unknowingly invite them to your home. Now, many times we go and we hear about that individual who was possessed in the gatherings, that person who had a legion of demons in them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing I would like to say to everyone that is listening and everyone that is watching is that foul spirits, evil spirits, wicked spirits, and demons don't just jump in people like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to worry about walking down the street or even going to a movie or listening to certain music and things like that matter, or going to ball games or things of that matter, and then just being possessed by an evil spirit or demon. It doesn't operate like that.
Amen.
You have to invite them.
Right. Legally.
You know, you have to legally invite them. In other words, you have to do things and participate in things that would draw them to you. Now, the one thing I'm going to say, you can draw them to you with your words.
Mm.
I will say this. Some curse words that you say, some of these foul things that you say, you're actually calling foul spirits and demons come to you. Now, these
to interject,
yeah.
The word, which one was it that the bishop said?
F-U-C-K.
Well, we know what that means. I ain't going to say the real word, but a lot of, it's so prevalent on TV now. I mean, you can't even be watching a picture show, and it's just so casual.
Mm-hmm.
But what he told us, and I want to put in a prop. Bishop Kelly will be on live on the program, Blog Talk Radio, on Saturday,
The 28th
at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. And, I mean, he's going deep. I mean, he was caught up in this voodoo realm since the time he was a little boy. And he's going to give you his journey, how God delivered him. He even had a visitation of hell when he went to hell at 16 years old. Amen. So we want you to tune in, tell a friend, tell somebody, because he's going to be going deep. He's going to be talking about the Nemo cycle. That's the cycle when you keep going round and around and around, habitual things, things that you just can't get out of. He's going to show you how to break that cycle. It could be poverty. It could be sexuality. You caught up in sexual sins over and over and over. You keep repenting, but you keep falling into it. These are demonic spirits. Okay, so I wanted to put that prop in. All right.
As I was saying before, you can attract spirits with your own mouth by being foul-mouthed, cursing all the time. See, when you do that, these things hear that, and these things are attached to those things. That's their names. I'll say it that way. When you say all this MF and B and all this foul stuff like that, you're calling these spirits to you, and they're coming around. Now, they may not possess you, but they will come around and they will tell you things.
Yes.
This is how the enemy works. He will tell you things in your ear and make you believe it's you.
Yeah.
So that when they tell you these things, you won't come back against them. You just say, well, you know, something, you know, whatever.
Say something like, oh, where did that
come from? It comes from the enemy.
Some of these vile thoughts.
Vile thoughts, evil thoughts that the enemy puts in your mind and you accept it as your own thought. So you won't come against it. You won't fight it. You just receive it.
Mm.
In other words, you will have no filter against these foul spirits, so you just accept them.
Amen.
Now, that's what you see on the news every night. You see that. Mm. So we're going to get into the word.
Amen.
And we're going to get into this, and we're going to bring out some spirits and how to deal with them. We're going to go into the word of God, and we're going to talk about some things because it's plaguing the whole world.
Yes.
The whole world is being plagued by these foul spirits. Now, I'm going into Acts 8. I'm reading at the third verse of Acts 8, and it reads, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And when they preached the word, I'm going to read what happened. Okay? Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them.
Mm.
Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did.
Amen.
For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. When a person is delivered and healed and set free from the oppression of the enemy, demonic entities, evil spirits, wicked spirits, foul spirits, you have a sense of great joy because that torment has been lifted off of you.
Amen.
And we're going to get into how to get this stuff off of you where you can have the joy of the Lord, what surpasses all understanding. Now, Jesus said also on Mark 16, 15 through 20, and I want to read these verses because it's coming from the Lord, and it's telling that all of you all out there that are oppressed by these foul spirits, the answer, your deliverance is in Christ Jesus and in salvation and being filled with the precious Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God, is the only way you will break these things. It is spiritual. You cannot fight a spiritual battle via natural means. It's two different realms, two different economies, two different tactics.
And,
all right.
And one thing, we were listening to a psychiatrist, and he was 30 years in psychiatry, and he said the one thing, demons are real. He worked at a mental institution. He said, now some is mental. We know this is Mental Illness Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. Don't let us think that everything is a demon. There are some true cases of mental illness.
Yes.
He said, but one thing you cannot do is medicate a demon.
That's right.
All that medication do is make that body sleep.
Yeah.
But that demon is still active.
Still
okay?
There.
So he said, and another thing, he said they would do tests. And you know the Catholic Church do. They always have a psychiatrist there just to validate if it's true exorcism or is it mental illness.
Yeah.
Okay? They and sometimes I think we need this in the body of Christ because you just got people going rogue. I mean, I know Jesus is a healer. I know
Amen.
Jesus can set people free.
That's right.
But not everything is a demon.
That's right.
Okay? And let me clarify that. Not everything is a demon. Some of that is your own weaknesses.
Yes.
That you are yielding over to the devil.
That's right.
You could go on.
All right. So with that being said, that is absolutely true. And we believe that. And we don't just believe it. We know this.
Amen.
All right. But getting back to the word. Mark 16, 15 through 20. And this is Jesus speaking. Mm-hmm. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
Mm-hmm.
And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name.
Mm-hmm.
Shall they cast out devils? They will speak with new tongues.
Mm-hmm.
They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Amen.
So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Mm-hmm. So the Lord gave us the commission to preach the gospel. But after we preach the gospel, he said, signs shall follow. See, the first thing he tells us to do is cast out demons.
Mm.
Now, when you're casting out a foul spirit out of somebody, the first thing that needs to be done is that person needs to surrender himself to the Lord and be saved.
Yes.
Once he's saved, then he needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. And if that doesn't happen, when this person's soul and body is cleansed, his soul is cleansed, he doesn't have anything in there but a cleansed soul, a cleansed spirit. That's why he needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, because if that Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit is not within his temple, then those things that were cast out of him, they're out there looking for somewhere else to go. If they don't find anywhere else to go, they're going to come back to the house that they were in, and they're going to bring back seven spirits worse than them. Now, I'm not just talking. I'm going to go to Luke.
Yes.
And tell you what the Lord said about this.
Said.
And then after I do that, then we'll go into some deeper things, talking about the spirits and how they operate. But anyway, Luke 11:9-26, it says, and Jesus said, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, find it.
Mm-hmm.
And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, this is Jesus speaking here.
Mm-hmm.
If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone?
Mm-hmm.
Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Huh. If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going somewhere with this here. He said, only thing you have to do is ask for the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. Now things may happen before the Spirit comes in you, but he said he will give you the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit after salvation.
Amen.
Only thing you have to do is ask.
Lord, fill me with your Holy Ghost.
And believe for it and receive it. Now this is interesting right here. Now, and he was casting out a devil, Jesus was, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he cast out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils.
Yeah.
But listen, and others tempting him sought him of him a sign from heaven. But he knowing that their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth.
Yeah.
If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand?
Mm.
Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And Jesus said this, if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges.
Mm.
Now, the reason I asked that, the reason I brought that out is because the only way you can deal with spirits, devils, things in the supernatural is through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, the only way you can be really set free from those things where they won't come back, because they will come back.
Oh,
I want to say that.
They
will come back.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of you and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is your shield of protection.
Mm.
So you have some power to resist those things, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Without Christ, you're like a baby with no armor. You're like a soldier with no shield. You're like a soldier with no sword. You have no a battle gear. You're just naked to the enemy. You can't fight evil spirits without the Lord.
Hmm.
So that goes to how to demon-proof your house and your temple.
Let me put a little property. And what we want to say, now, statistically, we have over 1 billion Christians that profess Jesus. Why is it that you see so many movies, Hollywood, we kind of talked on this last week, making movies about demons? Look, I used to love me some scary movies.
That's right.
But the Lord convicted me and told me, why do you look at movies where you know the outcome is going to be where folks get cut up, beat up by the devil, even got the priest getting beat up, threw upside the wall, heads broken, neck broke off. He said, why are you glorifying that? He said, what Hollywood is doing is taking the power from me. And they pumping the devil up like he has all the power.
And he does.
You see how subtle he is? So, hey, I hope Hollywood is listening. Until you make some real demon casting out movies where God is the victorious and the devil is not, I won't be going to see you. And I hope a lot of other people don't either. We're going to have to make a stand. And everything, you got a movie, what is it now? The Nun, The Exorcist, Conjuring. Come on. But in the movie, everybody gets slam dunked by the devil.
That's true. That's true. That's so true. All right. Thank the Lord. Now, I want to bring out some more of what the Lord said back to Mark 16, starting at the 20th verse. And this is Jesus talking again. And Jesus said, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. Okay, did you hear that? So when people are being delivered and set free from the oppression, depression, and torment of the enemy, the kingdom of God has come to you, upon you.
Mm-hmm.
They say, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted and divided his spoils.
Amen.
He that is not with me is against me, says Jesus, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry spirits. Who walketh through dry spirits?
The spirit
walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. And what does he do? He says, I will return unto my house whence I came out. All right. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he, who is he? That spirit. And taketh to him 7 other wicked spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. Where does he dwell? In that temple, in your body.
Yes.
And the last state of that man is worse than the first.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to bring out is that Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, is stronger than any demonic, evil, wicked, foul spirit out there. These things cannot do anything with Christ and the Holy Ghost. They have power in reference to the natural realm, but they have very little power in reference to God, Christ, and the Holy Ghost. They do have power now, but they don't have power in comparison
to the power of God,
to the power of God and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That will dwell within you if you ask for it,
if you seek it
and ask it, if you seek salvation. See, I will say this. The enemy has set things up whereas he's got people believing that he's got all the power, that he can do anything he wants to do. But he can't.
Yeah.
He can't do anything he wants to do. He can't even possess people at will, because of the grace of God is prevalent on the earth. Because if he could do that, everybody would be possessed with demons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody would be walking around crazy. But he can't do that. And that's what we're getting into.
Amen.
But I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the answer to all of your problems. And if you're vexed and you're something is bothering you and you think you're losing your mind, if you've been involved in some evil things, then you need to turn to the Lord.
Amen.
Because you will never get set free under your own power.
Or going to a medium or witchcraft.
That's right. None of that will help you. None of that will help you.
Amen.
None of that will help you. None of that will help you. Matter of fact, it will make it worse. But now that we've spoken about that, we're going to get into some things. Now, all right. I'm going to give you some information from a particular doctor. According to Dr. Jerry Robinson, he wrote a book. It's A Strong Man's His Name. What's his game? So that there are 16 biblically named demonic spirits. There's 16, but there's probably more, but there's 16 main ones that are many of the others
manifest
through. Okay? Okay? And this is, so let us look at what scripture prescription we can give for the deliverance of eviction and restoration of bound, oppressed people. He lists principalities, and then the underlines of activities of that spirit. Also lists what to bind and what to loose, okay? Because when you clean a demon out of a person, they must be filled up so that devil won't come back and find that person empty and make it seven times worse. And that's why I read to you the scriptures, because one thing I want to say to you have many people out there that they want to be set free from something. They want the torment to go away, but they don't want Jesus.
Hmm.
You know, they don't.
Fix.
Yeah, they don't want to be saved. There are no quick fixes out here. Look, I'll say this. Many times people work hard to get these spirits around them. What I mean by that, they'll go out, they'll do this. They'll go to soothsayers. They'll go to fortune tellers. They'll get deep in horoscope. They'll get into witchcraft. They'll get into all these different cults for years doing whatever these people and entities tell them, and then they want a quick fix when they get tormented by these things. They want to get set free in 15 minutes or 5 minutes.
It doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't work that way because you may have more. Remember Legion? This man had over 3,000 spirits in him, and I'm going to tell you how he got that in him. Because he was a necromancer.
Amen.
Now, what is a necromancer? A necromancer is someone who copulates with the dead and cannibalizes the dead.
What is copulate?
I don't want to be graphic. Well, having sex with dead people. That's what that is. You know what cannibalism is? It's eating people.
Mm-hmm.
So this man was out there having sex with dead people and eating them. He was a necromancer. And when he did that, he invited all those demons into his body.
Let me ask you this. Is this the same as the spirit cooking where a lot of Hollywood, they go call bloodletting and they be using dead baby parts and things like that? I know it sounds kind of too graphic for some of you deep Christians, but it happens.
And
people do whatever they need to do to get this power in the dark side.
That's right.
Okay? So we just keeping it real. Don't say, oh, it's just too graphic. Look, if you want real talk here, you're going to get it here. Amen?
Amen. And that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I said that is because many times we just hear about the legion. We just hear about the man being possessed. And it's good that Jesus came around and he cast things out of him. But we want to talk about how he got that way.
Yeah.
And that's how he got that way. He was a necromancer. Now, he may have been something else, too.
Mm-hmm.
But from our study, we found out that he was a necromancer.
Mm-hmm.
So he was laying up on dead people and eating dead people and doing whatever he was doing out there in that graveyard to get that power.
Yeah.
And what happened was those things took over him, and he lost control.
He opened himself up
to those evil, wicked, foul spirits, and he wound up with over 3,000 demons in him, and nobody could chain him, nobody could control him. They tried. They couldn't do it. They chained him up, and he just busted chains and kept hollering and acting like a fool.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. They, look, demons will make a real mockery.
Well, to make people fearful of
Most of Hollywood,
they have the demons, neck twisting backwards, walking backwards up the steps. They don't scare the hell truly out of you, for real.
Yeah, okay, yeah, they'll mess you up. But that's why I wanted to bring you up. Cause, so you see that only the power of God delivered that man. And one thing that was known was that after Jesus healed him and delivered him and set him free, he was clothed and in his right mind.
Power of God.
You see, these foul spirits, they not only mess your soul and body up, they will destroy your mind too.
Yeah.
The longer they're there, they will destroy your mind.
What is it called? Lunar spirit?
Yeah, lunar spirit.
Like lunatic.
Yeah, like lunatic. They want to get you to a state where you cannot repent.
My God.
They want to get you to a state where you feel that God can't help you.
Yes.
That's where they want you.
Yes.
They want you to a state of unrepentance.
That's true. Amen. Amen.
All right. Now, let's get into some things here. We're going to get into what we're going to do. We're going to go into various spirits, their how they manifest, and what it takes to get them out of your life.
Mm.
Now, we talk about a spirit of divination. Now, we know about Paul and Acts, whereas they came into a particular city and a particular woman come up and she was saying how powerful they were, how whether they were the men of the Most High God and all of this.
She knew who they were.
And she do that spirit in her knew who they were.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul discerned what was speaking out of her and he cast that out. Now, what was it that she had? She had a spirit of divination.
Yes.
Now, what is the manifestations of a spirit of divination?
Mm-hmm.
It is fortune tellers.
Mm.
Soothsayers, warlocks, satanic witches, Wiccan, Druid, pagan, stargazing, zodiac, horoscopes, rebellion, hypnotists, enchanters, drugs, pharmakeias, water witching, divination, and magic.
Mm-hmm.
There are several scriptures bringing that out, and I'll read some of them out to you. Acts 16:16 through 18.
If you want me to read it,
you can read.
I'll just read one.
Yeah,
two.
Read a couple of scriptures, and we want to get into that because, and one thing I want to say, in this regard, fortune tellers, soothsayers, and all these different individuals like this, they can tell you some truth. Okay.
It's Acts what?
Acts 16:16 through 18. They can tell you some truth, but that truth is coming from evil and wicked spirits. They call them familiars. And what a familiar is, it's a spirit that is familiar with you.
Your life.
Because it's been studying you.
Uh-huh.
It knows what you says. It knows where you go.
Uh-huh.
It knows who you deal with.
Mm-hmm.
It knows a lot about you. So when you go to these fortune tellers and these witches and these warlocks, they can tell you some things, but they're telling you via evil spirits.
Amen. Let me read this. This is Acts 16:16 through 18. And it came to pass as we went to prayer. They're going to do the Lord's work. I tell you, the devil always showing up when you're going to do the Lord's work. A certain damsel, I mean a certain young lady, possessed, notice that word possessed, with a spirit of divination met us, which bought her masters much gain by soothsaying. So when you go to these soothsayers and you'll see the little hands out in front of front, you're a madam, whatever. You go up in there for a reading, she ain't doing nothing but packing more demons in. And so she met us, which bought her masters much gain. They was getting money off of her. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew unto us the way of salvation. So you would have thought, oh, she's sincere. She's talking about we know how to get to God.
Yeah.
But she was, read on. Amen. And I'll let you go on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to go to 19 then.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So we're going to go on to 19 and go from there. But you could be talking. This
okay.
Man is actually,
well, amen. 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 While she's finding the scripture, we're going to go on. This, and then we know all these are their works of the flesh.
Right.
And the Lord will say, by their fruits, you'll know all men, Matthew 7:20.
Mm-hmm.
But the answer to the spirit of divination is to bind that spirit. But you can only bind that spirit in Jesus Christ. You bind the thing in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You plead the blood against it. You bind it. And when you bind it, then you lose the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the spirit in your life. 1 Corinthians 12:7-12.
Okay, I got it. Okay. So as we were saying, she followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. So you thought she was legit.
Mm-hmm.
She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul just got tired. He said, finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit. Now, he was speaking to the spirit. Notice.
To the spirit.
Not the damsel, but the spirit in her. Okay? He turned around and was speaking to the spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the spirit left her. Okay?
Amen.
Amen.
Go to 1 Corinthians 12:7-12.
I got to get some water. It say what now?
1 Corinthians 12:7-12. And I'm going to get some H2O for my wife.
Thank
and I'll
you.
Be right back.
Well, you know, and I don't claim stuff, but these allergies sometimes, and it's allergy season, I got a whole cabinet full of stuff from the doctor. Get allergies till I left Illinois and came down south. Maybe it's all these pollen and pollens and things. But we do what we need to do, man, and we go from there. But God is good, and I'm gonna go to first. So follow along with me, and he said 1 Corinthians 12:7-12. So you can go there now. Amen. First Corinthians, and I have to spell it. Bear with me. I ain't got my glasses on. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12. And we're going to go 7 through 12. Okay, I'm going to read that. All right. Okay, it says, and I'm reading out the NIV. It's more clarity. I know I love the King James, but to me, the NIV is better. As far as clarity. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, talking about the Holy Ghost. To another, faith, okay, by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by that one Spirit, the Holy Ghost. To another, miraculous powers. To another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits. That's discernment, which we don't have a lot of it in the church nowadays. To another speaking in different tongues. Now, this is a whole, people get caught up on tongues. Well, did you speak in tongues? Well, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. God didn't say that. And we don't want to make getting the Holy Ghost like some crazy where you flipping and flopping all over the floor. You can get filled right there in your living room. You can
Amen.
Get, my grandson got filled with the Holy Ghost right in my living room.
That's right.
15, I think he was 15, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He said he wanted the Holy Ghost.
And he received it.
And he got filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Now, whether you speak in tongues or not, I'm not here to condemn you. But he said, as he Bishop read earlier, if you ask for the Holy Ghost, God will come in and fill you with his spirit.
That's right.
Amen. And then he said, speaking in different kinds of tongues, to still another, the interpretation of tongues. And all these are the work of the same spirit, the Holy Ghost, not a demon spirit, and be careful, because you can get into blasphemy. That's what the scribes and Pharisees were saying. When Jesus was doing the miracles, they say he worketh miracles of Beelzebub. You see? So you got to be careful. But you need discernment. Not everybody on YouTube casting out demons is holy. They use all kinds of different incantations and things. So you got to have discernment. Okay.
All right. So we wanted to bring that out. So now you see why, after salvation, you need to be filled with the Spirit. Because when you are filled with the Spirit, not only are you filled with the Spirit, but you are inheriting from God various giftings that will actually help you to fight against the enemy.
Amen.
Because he cannot, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Now, what is in the world? The enemy. So if God is in you, you have something greater than the enemy. So you can fight the enemy off. You are no more defenseless, you see,
yeah.
Because you have the Spirit of the living God in
Amen.
You, which is more powerful than anything on the face of the earth.
Amen.
All right. Okay. Now, the next spirit that we're going to talk about is a familiar spirit. Now, listen, remember what I said about the fellow that was in the gatherings that had the legion of devils in him? Listen at this. Familiar spirit, manifestations of a familiar spirit. The first thing on the list is a necromancer. Then you got mediums, peeping and muttering spirits. That deals with mediums and necromancers and soothsayers, muttering and peeping and muttering, that's spell castings and things like that. Yoga, yoga. Yoga is a religion. It's a Hindu religion. It's not just an exercise.
Well, we do Christian yoga.
No, you can't do Christian yoga, because when you do yoga, you're actually opening doors and calling in those various spirits of the Hindu religion.
Yeah.
Okay? Look it up for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Don't jump on me.
It's a Hindu kundalini coils around your spine.
Yeah, that's right. Clairvoyance, spiritists, drugs. Passive mind dreamers and false prophecy.
False
scriptures with that is Deuteronomy 18:11 and 1 Chronicles 10:13.
Amen.
Now, all this is works of the flesh, but how do you deal with that? Same thing as before.
Mm-hmm.
You bind that familiar spirit. Once you get saved, once you get the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, or if you bound by that, you need to go to somebody who was saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and this is what they do. They would have to bind that familiar spirit and loose the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Spirit.
Amen.
That's it.
Yeah.
All right. Now we're going on to the spirit of bondage. Now,
and
the manifestation of a spirit of bondage is, first thing, fears, addictions, drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, food, etc., etc., etc.
You telling me you could be bound with food?
Yeah, you can.
How?
You can have a glutton spirit.
Explain that.
You can have a glutton
big
spirit.
Big 1,000-pound people.
Well, and you just got to eat all the time. It's an addiction.
Jesus.
And I would say this: any addiction is not good. Any natural addiction is not good. Okay. It's not good because it will cause and draw various spirits to you. And drugs and alcohol, that's a common thing in witchcraft and sorcery and most occults. They do that because that weakens the body and it weakens your mind and it opens you up to various demonic spirits that are connected to those things.
But look what they have. Alcohol, when you go to a liquor store, they have wine, spirit, and spirits.
That's right.
Don't they?
Yes, they do. So it's amazing that they have spirits there.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, all right, let me go on a little further here. Then you have fear of death, captivity to Satan, servant of corruption, compulsive sin, and bondage to sin.
Mm.
And the scriptures, if you want to look that up, is Romans 6 and 16.
Hold on.
Yeah, you can go and look
you
that
up.
You
say Romans what now?
Romans 6, 16.
See, we use a lot of scriptures here, y'all.
And 7 and 23.
Romans
6 and 16.
Yeah, and follow along, because we don't want you taking our word for what? 6 and 16.
Yes.
What else?
And Romans 7:23.
Okay, let me do 6 and 16 first. Yeah. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, rather of sin leading to death,
mm-hmm.
or of obedience leading to righteousness? That's deep.
Mm-hmm. 7:23.
Okay, so now we're going to go to Romans 7:23. Yeah, the reason we say, because you got too many people, they go to church, they don't even take their Bible. And they just, whatever that preacher say, they take a hook, line, and sinker. You better learn how to study the word.
Amen.
Okay, 7:23. But I see another law in my members, warring, like you war against something, warring against the law of the mind. Constant battle in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do right, but your mind is saying, no, you gone. And if you caught up in lust, tap that. You know what? Mm-hmm. Doesn't tell you that.
Yeah, he tell you that.
And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members.
All right. Amen. And now we have a lot of scriptures here. There are a lot of scriptures here, but we'll just go with a few.
Amen.
To try to save time. But it says, what do you deal? How do you deal with the spirit of bondage? You bind it up.
Mm,
you bind it. You bind the spirit of bondage, and you lose liberty, spirit of it, and the spirit of adoption, Romans 8 and 15.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do. Now, what we got next here, it is a spirit of fear. Now, if you notice.
Give them an example. Holy Spirit, just say, give them an example of binding. How would somebody new in Christ, they just get saved, how would they know how to bind? Explain binding to them.
Well, binding is in the word. When you, to tie up, I say that. You tie up the spirit, you arrest that spirit, you bind it up, you tie it up through the word of God in the name of Jesus, where it's inactive.
Right. Then you can cast it.
Then you can cast it out, and then you can loose the spirit of God in your life.
Like an example.
Yeah, like
okay. If you're dealing with let's I don't know why the Lord is leading me to lust. There's something going on. But say for instance you're dealing with lust, okay? You can't even look at a good-looking man or a good-looking woman. It goes both ways. The way you would conquer that spirit, say, I come against the spirit of lust. I take authority over it. I bind it up. Or bind it down, whichever. I come against it right now in the name of Jesus, and I cast you out of me. You will leave this temple. You're not welcome in my temple.
In Jesus' name. And
You work on it.
Then you work on it and you lose liberty and the spirit of adoption according to Romans 8 and 15.
Amen.
See, but one thing, the reason I say you cannot do these things without having Christ in your life.
You gotta have him in your life.
You must be saved.
Yes.
You must have the Spirit of God residing in you before you can have power to come against these things.
Amen.
Because if you don't give your life over to Jesus, then you have no authority. You have no power. And the enemy will acknowledge the authority of Jesus Christ and the power of the living God and the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You know, he will.
Yeah.
So that's what you have to do.
Bind it and loose it.
You have to bind it.
And I got to give them the scripture.
Okay.
Binding.
Yeah, go
ahead. It could be going on.
Okay, and so, yes. Oh, yeah, so we talked about the spirit of bondage. Now we go into the spirit of fear. And, this gets real interesting here. It gets pretty deep. And the spirit, the manifestations of the spirit of fear are fears and phobias. Now, when we're talking about
That's the scripture combined.
Okay, well, read that.
This is in Matthew 16:19, because the Lord told me to just put it out there, because there's some people going to try to get theological on me and say, well, you know, where's that in the Bible? So I want to bring it out, and you can interpret it the way you want to. But he said, whatever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven. And whether you loose on earth, whatever you loose on earth is already loosed in heaven. That's Matthew 16:19. Amen?
Amen. So he was talking to his people. He was talking to people that were saved.
He honored your prayers.
He honored your prayers. He hears what you're saying.
Yes.
Ask and you receive.
There you go.
Now, the manifestations of fears and phobias. Now, when we say fear, we're talking about inordinate fear. We're not talking about the fear of stepping out in front of a train or jumping in deep water and you can't swim.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about that natural fear of getting hurt. We're not talking about that.
Yeah.
Some fear is good, okay? But we're talking about fears and phobias, whereas if you see a spider and you have a nervous fit and you just lose your mind see a spider or a worm.
God had to deliver me from worms,
because
I couldn't even work in the yard. I would tell him, I see a worm, I'm digging my little dirt. See, I say, Jesus, I couldn't do it.
No, and when we talk about phobias, we talk about unnatural phobias, whereas you're so fear of heights, you can't take two steps on the ladder. That's what we're talking about.
Or it just keeps you fearful. I can't get on a plane because you're so fearful. See, these are demonic spirits. People don't know it. Oh, it's just a phobia. No, but it handicaps you. You can't leave your house because you're fearful. It's, well, we call it paranoia, really. But you can't leave your house because you think somebody's going to attack you. Or God said he don't have us to be walking in fear. Now, like Bishop said, you don't be ignorant. Just walking down a drug-infested alley, if that's the only way you got to go, cover yourself in the blood. But I think you get the picture.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so we talked about that. And then it says spirit of fear, heart attacks. When they say heart attacks, it says heart attacks brought on by fear.
Mm.
It don't mean you just have a natural heart attack. It means you have a heart attack that is brought on by fear, or you have a fear of having a heart attack
right. All
the time. You can't move because, oh, I'm going to have a heart attack.
What's
that
called, a hypochondriac?
Yeah, the hypochondriac kind of thing. You got torment, horror, fear of man. Now, this is unnatural.
Yeah.
What we're talking about is not natural fear. It's not natural, okay? Fear of man, nightmares, terrors, anxiety, stress, fear of death, untrusting, doubt. Now these are manifestations of the spirit of fear. So it's not just fear. Is other things connected to that spirit. So how do you deal with it? Well, I say that you will deal with it with the word of God, salvation, and the Holy Spirit. Now, scriptures is Isaiah 13:7-8 and 2 Timothy 1:7. Could you pull that up?
Yeah. We're going to have more.
Yeah, we're going to have an hour and 6 minutes.
Yeah?
Okay.
Let me pull it up.
Okay.
What was it? Isaiah what?
Isaiah 13:7-8. And you just read that one. Because when you're dealing with various spirits, when you're dealing with things of that nature, there are a lot of scriptures to back it up. And if we went through all these scriptures, we would be here all night, and we don't have that much time. Isaiah 13:7.
Okay, it says, therefore, shall all hands be faint? As you said, Isaiah 13:7-8?
Yeah.
Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid, pains, like, you know, hurting, and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain, P-A-I-N, as a woman that travaileth, like you're in labor. You know, being in labor, that's intense pain. I can't even explain it. They shall be amazed one at another, their faces shall be as flames.
Wow. Wow. So you hear that? It calls you, it freezes you. It's a fear. I would say that there is a particular goat out there that when you come upon it, it gets so afraid that it just freezes. It freezes. That goat freezes. So if something is attacking it, a lion or a bear, it's easy prey because it just freezes and won't move.
Yeah, that's
the kind of fear that we're talking about. Mm. It incapacitates, you see, that kind of fear. Now, it says nightmares, terrors, anxiety, stress, fear of death, untrust, and doubt. How do you deal with it? You bind that spirit of fear. And Evangelist Montgomery, she talked about what that binding is. And God hears you when you do that, because you will be a child of God when you get set free from that. And you loose the power, love, and a sound mind, for perfect love casts out all fear.
Amen.
That is found in 2 Timothy 1 and 7. All right, you can look that up. 1 John 4:18. Now, we also have seducing spirits. Now, the reason I'm going into these various spirits, because if you don't know what they are, how can you fight them?
I'm not.
You're not going to fight them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It says, seducing spirits, all right. The manifestations of that is hypocritical lies, seared conscious, attractions, fascinations by false prophets, signs and wonders. And when it says signs and wonders, it's really talking about false signs and wonders. There are imitations of the genuine signs and wonders of God, okay,
mm-hmm.
brought about by false spirits. Deception, wandering from the truth, fascination with evil ways, objects, or persons, seducers, enticers.
Hmm.
They are also works of the flesh, and some of the scriptures for that is 1 Timothy 4:11, Proverbs 12:22, James 1:14, and there are others, but there are so many, and I'll just give those to you right now. There's also works of the flesh. And what do? You have... It's all connected to binding and loosing,
mm-hmm.
all right? So what you do, you bind these seducing spirits and you loose Holy Spirit of truth, John 16:13. Now, we're giving you the quicker answer, because like Jesus said, some things come out but by fasting and praying, but that's a different subject. Fasting, praying, you're building up your strength in the spirit. You're building up your faith in the spirit. You're getting rid of doubt. You're getting rid of fear. And you're ready in your spirit to deal with these foul spirits. So some spirits is easier to deal with than others. Okay? Then you have this spirit of Antichrist. And this is interesting, because that's what we're living in this time. And if there's anybody that would have a desire to call in, the guest call-in number is 319-527-6058. That's 319-527-6058 to call into Blog Talk Radio, okay? Now, the spirit of the Antichrist is this. The manifestation is denies the deity of Christ, and that's something that happens a lot these days. Denies atonement against Christ and his teachings, humanism, worldly speech and actions, teachers of heresies, anti-Christian, deceiver, lawlessness. And how do you do that? How do you deal with that? You bind the spirit of Antichrist. Then you loose the spirit of truth. 1 John 4:6. Okay, we're going to go on, because Evangelist Montgomery has some things that she needs to bring out. I don't want to take up all the time. Okay, and here we have the spirit of error.
Error, yeah.
All right, now this is a good one right here. And the manifestation of that spirit is error, unsubmissiveness, false doctrines, unteachable, servant of corruption, contentious, defensive, argumentative, It says, you defend God's revelation to them personally if you're going to deal with somebody like that. And New Age movement. And you have scriptures for that also. Proverbs 14:22, 1 John 4:6, and 2 Peter 3:16-17. A lot more, but I'll just give those in case someone is writing them down. Mm-hmm. Okay? How do you deal with that? Same as before. You bind the spirit of error in your life. Then you loose the spirit of truth. 1 John 4:6, Psalm 51:10. Now here's a good one that I want to bring out. And it is the spirit of poverty. Now most folks think of the spirit of poverty as somebody that's poor or po, as we used to say.
Mm-hmm.
But it has nothing to do with that. We thank you for 1231 calling in. We will give you space to speak in just a moment.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. The spirit of poverty. So the Bible teaches us about poverty and its effects on people. To write or speak about the spirit of poverty does not fall into the arena of prosperity teaching.
Mm.
I'll read that again. To write or speak about the spirit of poverty does not fall into the arena of prosperity teaching, okay? Mm. A spirit of poverty has nothing to do with how much anyone owns, okay? What they eat or wear. A spirit of poverty can oppress and not infrequently does wealthy people.
Amen.
You hear that?
Don't matter about how much money it
is. Many people below the poverty level are not oppressed by this spirit.
Hmm.
I'll read this again. Many people below the poverty level are not oppressed by this spirit. It has nothing to do with wealth or lack of it. It is related to greed and fear of loss. That's a poverty spirit. A spirit of poverty can be defined as a demonic spirit empowered by iniquity and sin in the areas of giving and receiving.
Mm.
It operates generationally through iniquity. Therefore, it is a familiar family line spirit.
Mm.
This spirit is related to Belial, the destroyer, described in Psalm 18:4 and 2 Corinthians 6:15. A spirit of poverty is a condition and a person, a people, and or a land.
Amen.
I'll read the manifestations and then we'll go to our caller. The manifestation of a spirit of poverty is laziness.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 6:11-10:4-13:18. Greed.
Mm-hmm.
Ecclesiastes 5:10-13. Matthew 6:24-13:22. And Mark 10:22. Looting and stealing. Exodus 20:15, Leviticus 19:11, Deuteronomy 5:19, Ephesians 4:28, concealing sin, Proverbs 28:13, lack of generosity, Proverbs 11:26.
Amen.
All right, you can go to the caller now.
We're going to the callers.
Please. All right, caller 1231.
Yes. How you doing today?
We're doing well.
How are you doing tonight? Well, I was listening to the Antichrist spirit, and I had a question in regards to that. So you could actually have a Antichrist spirit in a non-denominational church where the pastor is preaching out the Bible, but he still has an Antichrist spirit. Is that accurate when I say that?
Well, like Evangelist Montgomery said, what is he teaching? If he's denying the deity of Christ, if he denies atonement, if he's against Christ and his teaching, if he talks about humanistic teachings and he has a worldly speech and actions and he teaches heresies, he's a deceiver in lawlessness, Yes, then he has a spirit of Antichrist.
Yeah, anything that pulls you away.
Yeah, and the reason why I say that is because it's a lot of some of these mega pastors that are mixing humanism and New Age with the Bible too. So would they be considered Antichrist teachers or false prophets or false teachers?
They would be false teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And see, you can't mix that stuff in the gospel. If you mix,
but they
that
do,
stuff,
they do it. I know you
well,
can't, but they do it.
But this is the thing. He said, "This is how." And you can go to 1 John 4:2-3. 1 John 4:2-3. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. He said, "Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, we know the scripture is from God." Okay, like you say, they stand up there and they do say they love Jesus. I'm not here to try to check their heart, but you can tell by what they say. But every spirit, if they only talking about money, what did he just read? They got a poverty spirit. You know why? Because they can't trust God that God gonna touch the people's heart to give freely. That's why they gotta beat it over your head. These mega pastors are. They got to make sure their money is coming in consistently. They really have a spirit of poverty because they're not going to trust God, but they tell you to trust God. So it's saying here, every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. You say, well, they do say Jesus is from God, but they're going to really tell on themselves. They're telling themselves who really their God is.
Yeah,
I can confess Jesus all the time, but my actions is, we used to say, speak louder than words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do I really worship God or do I worship mammon?
That's what Jesus said. By their fruits, you'll know them.
You see, what are they really worshiping? Is it God of truth or is it their God of mammon?
All right. Now it says here, what defeats a spirit of poverty or destroys the spirit of poverty? It says, look to true source. Deuteronomy 8:17-18, Proverbs 2:2-4, Psalm 23:1. Giving to the Lord.
Amen.
Proverbs 3:9, Malachi 3:8-10, Matthew 6:31-33, Corinthians 16:12. They say, now, one thing I want to bring out. Say, God does not need our monies, Romans 11:35.
Mm-hmm.
Giving releases resources, but God don't need our money, okay? That's
right.
What it says.
Right.
Giving to the poor, Proverbs 19:17-27. This is what defeats and destroys a spirit of poverty. Hard work. Proverbs 21:5, 27:23-27, 28:19. Generosity, Psalms 112:5, Proverbs 11:24-25, 20-9, 22-9,
mm-hmm.
Mark 12:44, and obedience to the word of God.
Okay, and it's going to kind of piggyback. Last week we talked on false prophets. These spirits John was talking about is disembodied supernatural beings. We're talking about demons. So when you see these mega pastors, and a lot of times all they talk about is money and we need to give more. The Bible say they're greedy dogs. You say their bellies never get full. I'm just paraphrasing. So that's how you can tell. Now, who makes them greedy? The people do. They cannot be as big as the people make them. If people would get up and start walking out when all you talk, I don't care what the Holy Scripture say, in some kind of way, these greedy dogs is going to turn that scripture to mean money. God had put on my heart yesterday, it's been a lot, and we might have to write a book on church hurt, and I think we could write a book on it. But they're not really concerned about the souls. They're only concerned about themselves, their pocket. They're building bigger barns, building bigger churches. You know, and there was one false prophet, and they prey on desperate people. And we going back, because last Saturday we talked about false prophets, but we were just talking about this man. He had a Zoom tube where he said if you sold him $1,000 to single women, he guaranteed you're going to get a husband. And in one night, he made over almost $1 million. And one woman said she gave him $1 million and she ain't married yet. You see what I'm saying? Mm. But to some people, oh, he's a man of God. No, he's a liar. And this is the identification of a false prophet. False prophets. Now, they're going to give you, like we said last week, 9 parts truth, and they're going to put that one line there. This is why you have so many people that has just turned away from God. But just because you get hurt in the church, don't turn from God.
Yeah, don't turn from Christ.
Now, we've been hurt. Like I say, we can write a book, but I didn't turn from God.
You don't turn from the Lord.
Don't do that.
You turn to Christ.
The enemy wants to separate you. You had talked, Bishop, about the sheep, mm-hmm. how they'll try to lure you away from the flock, which is where you getting the word, and you out there open game for the wolf. You just pray, because you ain't got no support group. Well, I ain't going to church because I got hurt 50 years ago. Well, what's wrong with you and your word and connecting with other believers like you? Didn't God have to rebuke Elijah? He said, no, I still got 7,000 who
ain't bowed
to Baal worship, idol worship, this system. No man should be alone. This is why God put back on us. Now, we got over 170 Blog Talk radio shows. Anytime you want to hear it, if you tormented at night, what he just read about demons, mm-hmm. cut on Blog Talk Radio. We got messages from John Ramirez when he first started over 11 years ago, out of the devil's cauldron. We got Carol Matriciana talking about the Kundalini spirit. She's dead and gone, but she was on our program. We've been doing this since 2011, and a lot of times we felt like giving up, saying, what is it doing, Lord? They don't hear us. We just like a John the Baptist, one crying in the wilderness, but God said, don't you stop. That's why we had to come back. He said, because there's so many wolves out there feeding lies to my people. No, we're not saying that Kingdom of God Ministries is the only one. But he said, don't you stop. So it was from God that we started back. And he said, I got a lot of people that is not taken by this culture. I see more babies, young men, young women rising up, boldness. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a baby boomer. My children were Generation X. I don't know why they call them X. I guess they didn't want to give them a name. And then their children is Millennials. And then their children is Z's. But I see the Z's and Millennials being more bold in their stance for God than a lot of the Generation X's. The Generation X's is kind of like, y'all beat Jesus down our throat, so we just want to be free. We don't want no religion, no nothing. So what they did, they didn't even raise their kids up to know God. Uh-huh. They wouldn't even take them to church. When grandma went there, getting the kids to say, see, when my kids grew up, my mama was there. Me and my husband was there, and we would raise them up to go to church. But the exorcist said, we don't want no part of it. So in the sense, they open their children up to demonic influence, mm-hmm. stuff being shoved down their throat, and that's what you have. So as he said earlier, demons come in groupings. It's more likely if you got one demon, we call it the head honcho. Yeah, let me give you some. Demon grouping. So let's say if you got bitterness. Okay. So he said he'll go out and find 7 of his buddies and say, come on, we're going to go back to that house. That's our house. Ain't think about this your temple of the Holy Ghost. This our house. Okay. And he said, what do you do if it's bitterness? You're going to have resentment, hatred, unforgiveness. You have a violent temper. You'll be angry all the time. You want to retaliate, and it can eventually lead to murder. See how them groupings come together? That's why when you cast out one, you got to cast them all out. So go figure with the man with 1,000,
yeah.
What, 3,000 legions?
Yeah.
Here's another one. If you always caught up in insecurity, you don't want to do nothing, you're fearful. Insecurity is inferiority complex, always self-pity, woe is me, loneliness, timidity, shyness. See, God said he has not given us the spirit of fear. So when God, the Holy Spirit, came up on those apostles, he said they were bold.
Yes.
For the things of God. That baby, what we saw today,
mm-hmm.
before all these millions of people singing to the glory of God,
amen.
God will give you boldness. You ain't going to be, he said, because if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father.
That's right.
No, I proclaim it boldness. And if you don't want to be around me, don't come around me. But this is not to say that Christians don't know how to have fun. They don't know how to go on trips, vacations. But it should be in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
The world shouldn't be pulling you. You should be pulling the world.
Amen.
But we see it the other way around. Here's another one. Confusion. You see a lot of confused people nowadays. They don't know if they're going or coming. Frustration. They always forgetfulness. It's a fear. Oh, I'm just absent-minded. No, you need to cast that demon out your mind.
All right.
You know? Or stop claiming, oh, I'm old, so I just can't remember. Like, God.
No.
Look, we up in age too. But I rebuke that spirit of, what is it?
Forgetfulness.
And then the other one they always say. Yeah, rebuke that off of you. Because it makes
Jesus
you,
name.
Yeah, you don't have to walk around like that. I mean, then you have a spirit of doubt. They bring on their demon spirits of unbelief. Yeah, there's a spirit of unbelief. Skepticism, like the doubting Thomas. Now, he's seeing Jesus right before him. And he said, if that's really you, just let me stick my hand in the wounds, you know? Now, this man been raised from the dead. You see what I'm saying? Still down God, you saw them crucify him. You saw him come through the wall, but you saying if it's really you, because he's thinking it's probably a ghost or a demon, if it's really you, Lord, let me just stick my hand in those wounds where you were stabbed. This is what we have today. We have a lot of unbelievers who say they're believers. Well, demons ain't real. How do you know? Have you ever stared in the eyes of somebody that was demon-possessed?
Right.
Have you ever cast out a demon on somebody? How do you know? You don't even teach about demon possession in your church. And that's why you got a church full of people bound up, don't know how to take authority over these demonic spirits that's tormenting their life. Because you ain't teaching them nothing. Only thing you teaching them is how to get junk. Like you said, you can have a poverty spirit and have all the money in the world.
That's
and
right.
How to teach. Because this is all these mega teachers teach you. And now they talk about, well, we ain't going to talk about it no more. See, why? Because you don't bled, you don't rob the people. Now you getting ready to go off the scene. You don't talk this garbage 40 years. So you're going to just turn your church over to these little young novices. And you're going to go on off in the sunset and live in your 30,000 square feet mansion, and you leaving the flock because you old now. So you don't raise up some younger people that's going to carry on this garbage. I'm so thankful that the church is waking up and they saying, enough of this. We won't support you if you all you teaching about is money. Look. We know churches need money, but you shouldn't browbeat. You shouldn't beat it over people's head 24/7. Pray that God give them a spirit of giving. Like those Corinthians, when they got saved, a lot of them was bringing their jewelry and everything. Ananias,
mm-hmm.
really?
Mm-hmm.
You remember?
Yeah.
Bringing, you know, because they were just glad what God had done for them.
Amen. Insane.
When we think about, me and my husband think about where God brought us from. Well, we didn't hardly have none. Our wedding night, we had old shack. God, I get full of anointing just think about it. You can't relate to where God brought me from. Because you wasn't there. But when I look where I'm at today, glory, hallelujah, I know God is real.
Amen.
And you say, how could y'all have made it? It was by the hand of God.
Right.
How could your marriage have lasted 50 years? By the hand of God. We prayed a many nights. Kids going haywire. Didn't know, but all we knew was how to get on our knees and intercede. This is what you got to do for your children. You know the devil got them bound up. You got to get on your knees.
Yeah.
I come against the spirit of rebellion. I take authority over it right now in the name of
Jesus.
I cast you out of this house. You have no authority in this home. This house belongs to God.
Yes.
That's how you got to pray. And don't give up. Just because things start looking like they're going pretty good, you stop praying. That's the time when you need to pray even more. Amen. So I got some things I'm going to bring out. Time is getting away quickly. Amen. But, you know, I've been in a prayer of praying, and the Holy Spirit been so strong all day. But it says, here are some steps to cleaning your home. Seven ways to pray of forgiveness. You forgive your ancestors. These are people that did stuff against God you wouldn't even thought about
being born. Right.
But you say, I come against any sins that my ancestors has committed against you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's been fornication, blasphemy, witchcraft, idolatry, murder, I come against these spirits. You say, and ask God to forgive and bless them. Yeah, they dead and gone, but you could break that right now because it ain't going to come on my seed.
That's right.
Amen. Then you ask the Lord, you say, God, okay, then you could say, ask for forgiveness of spiritual adultery.
That's right.
Some of them committed spiritual adultery. You say, well, evangelist, what is spiritual adultery? That's when they knew God, but they went serving other gods.
That's right.
The world was calling them back and forth. No matter, well, one minute I'm in the church, but the next minute I'm out here at the club.
Mm-hmm.
Or I got to go, you know, I got to go over here to Sally's house. She good in the bed, but I'm married.
Mm-hmm.
Just like it's natural adultery, it's spiritual adultery. God said, you will not have, thou should not have no other God before me.
That's true.
And some dummy said, well, if God is God, how could he be jealous? You know who stupid said that.
Yeah.
A famous person. She couldn't comprehend how God being God would be a jealous God. Because he made your dumb self. I mean, anybody that make you and create you, you say, well, how could he be jealous? Anyway, he said, clean out your house from these objects.
Yeah.
We talked about a little bit, you know, about them earlier. A lot of kids, they want to play the Ouija board. It's like a game.
Tarot cards.
Tarot cards and, you know, all this demonic stuff. And like I told you,
crystals.
And now they even pushing crystals.
Yeah.
But like you said, tarot cards, even some of these demonic movies. And when God convicted me of them, I don't watch them like that.
You have to be careful.
Yeah, because you can open doors unknowingly. Now, like Bishop said, they ain't going to just possess you, but they can get in your house. And they can bring fear in your house where you hearing every bump in the wall, and they ain't in you, but you hearing stuff, and, well, what's that upstairs? Oh, there's somebody walking. Okay.
Well, you have to be careful, because in some of these programs, they are actually putting out real spells.
Right.
Real hexes and real vexes,
mm-hmm.
and they will manifest in your home.
Right.
You have to be careful. If you don't know how to deal with it, you'll have strange things going on in your house because of a continuation of what you watched and heard. So you
and
have
they
to be careful.
Just follow that movie.
Follow the movie.
You know, and we know it's Halloween and there ain't nothing like a good scary movie, but I would say if you're weak to that kind of stuff, maybe you don't need to look at it.
Yeah.
You know?
You don't need to
look at it. And for sure, don't let your children look at it because You know, kids is highly sensitive in the spiritual realm anyway. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to bring this stuff in your house.
You don't want to bring it in your house, and you don't want to plague your children.
Yeah. And we don't even celebrate Halloween. Now, we don't condemn. I pray that you're overcomers, but we don't deal with that. Now, when the kids were young, we were ignorant of certain things. The church didn't teach us these things. And the church, even now, they got trunk or treat or, you know, all this stuff. Why do you want to glorify the devil on his day? Why would you want to do that? When you see the real dark side of Halloween,
when you know what it really is,
you will stop it. No, it ain't about just kids having fun and candy. See, the devil always try to mask something and make it just subtle. You know, Jesus even told Peter, he say, Peter, Satan desires to what? Sift you. That means take you. He said, but I have prayed for you. Now, I'm paraphrasing. You can pull the scripture up. Find that for me. But this is what God is doing. He's interceding on our behalf. Because a lot of things we just don't know. But he said, when you come into the knowledge of the truth, when you learn out the truth, walk therein. He ain't condemning you. The woman Mary Magdalene, she had seven demons. And I wanted to go over some of the scriptures of demon possession in the Bible. So I don't know why the churches want to shy away from it. Well, we don't want to give glory to the devil. Well, you need to let the church know there is a devil and how to deal with the devil. If anybody should be teaching the right things about how to cast out Satan, the church should be. We shouldn't be looking to the world to show us how to cast out devils. What can they show us? He say Satan ain't going to cast out Satan. So why are you looking to the world, going to see horror movies, and they're not casting out nothing. They just really transferring spirits to spirits. You can transfer certain spirits, and this is all they do. So, and then he said, cast demons out of people that came in through curses. So how do you do that? It was a movie back in the day where they was transferring spirits. What was it, Fallen?
Yeah, Fallen.
But they had it where you just walk by somebody, touch them, that demon spirit would go in them. But we know that's not true. You can read it.
Oh, it says, Jesus is talking to Simon. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers.
Amen. And so that's why we don't just go into, just like you see a lot of these rogue demon deliverance preachers, they just go on rogue. No, he said the biggest weakness is trying to cover deliverance by just casting out demons. If people don't know the word and they don't know their authority in Christ Jesus, the demons just gonna come back.
That's right. With the vengeance.
Yeah, and usually they do. That's why I say it's imperative. Once you get these demons cast out of you, get under some good teaching and grow in the things of God. Don't be out there by yourself, because they love little sheep who don't know the word.
That's right.
And that's where they come. They'll attack you wholeheartedly. You need somebody to intercede with you and pray with you. He said, when you go, a person needs extensive counseling. When you go through deliverance, you need extensive counseling to help them to do this, and they must decide to change their lives.
In other words, repent.
Amen. What is repent, Pastor? We don't talk about that in church nowadays.
No, repentance is turning away from sin.
Yes, yes.
Turning away from sin, turning away what you know is wrong.
Amen.
And walk therein.
Yes, yes, yes. See, and this is what we're saying. When you see a lot of this sensationalism, and when we say that, you go to YouTube, you see people casting out demons. They have the demons flipping and fly. This is the same thing Hollywood do.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, now we have seen some true manifestation, but nobody walked up the wall. Nobody's head bent backwards, but they did manifest.
Yes.
Okay? Now, I could tell you this, because that person didn't stay in God, Satan pulled them back out there, And that second state was worse than the first.
That's right.
So this is why it's very important. If you're going through deliverance or you've been delivered, you need to grow in the things of God. Do not go back to the thing that you was delivered from, or
that's
the
right.
company that you know you used to keep, or go back to sleeping with somebody when you've been delivered.
That's right.
Because this is another thing going on in church. Christians are fornicating. And they think because they're a Christian, God overlooks that. No, it's sin. And I tell people now, if you're with somebody and you've been with this person and you say you're a Christian, you need to get married or you need to stop fornicating.
See, here's the thing. The thing about error and sin is that it leads to other error and sin.
Right.
It's just like drugs. Now, many people I know that have messed with marijuana is that it leads to harder drugs.
Right.
Because the high they obtain with one drug is not enough. So they go to another drug,
right.
which gives them a higher high.
Right.
So it's the same thing with sin. When you get involved in error, say you're an adulterer. Well, if you're an adulterer and you go out with one person's wife, then you're not going to stop.
Right.
You're going to go through other people's wives.
Right.
That's
right.
how that works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't just stop because you get remember what I said about the addiction?
Right.
You get addicted to that thing and it overtakes you.
Right.
Just like the fella in the Gadarenes who had all those demons in him.
Okay, and this is a grouping of demons that come with sexual impurity. And listen to these groupings. I told you the devil don't just come by itself.
Mm-hmm.
Sexual impurity, you will have lust, fantasy lust, where you sit up all day and think about lust, masturbation, homosexuality, lesbianism, adultery, fornication, incest, harlotry. These are different demon groupings. So this is why I say, are we against homosexuals? No. But I just pray that you hear the word and that the Lord is the only one can change you.
And one thing I would like to say in that regard, God loves everybody, okay? He loves every human being.
Yes.
If he didn't love humanity, we wouldn't be able to be saved. He could have just said, forget them, let the devil take them and destroy them. But he didn't do that because he loves us. But he doesn't love the error and the destruction of yourself. When you do these things, you are destroying yourself. Now, somebody might say, well, I love it so much. Just let them take me. Let them kill me. No. God doesn't operate like that because he operates in love. And so he's going to do everything he can to keep you from destroying yourself.
Right.
So he's going to draw you to him because he is love and life.
And let's say this, we're not here to bash homosexuals, lesbians. This is not a bashing nothing. We've all been delivered from something. But we just pray that the word, whatever you call it in, if it's sexual impurities of any kind, we ask that the word go and penetrate your heart. Because like I say, at the end of the day, I can't save nobody. I ain't trying to.
Mm-hmm.
God just told me to teach the word. The word will find you. One thing an old saint told me before, and they told me, they said, baby, if you choose, say, we don't want nobody to go to hell. Said, but if you're going to hell, why don't you go for something?
Mm-hmm.
And what they meant by that, she said, people are going to hell for nothing, for an old piece of tail, marijuana, dope. You're going to hell. You're selling yourself cheap. And one boy, he said, he didn't care about his soul anyway.
Yeah.
He said, my soul don't mean nothing. You see how deceived people is?
Well, see, that's the sad thing about many people is that they really don't consider their souls at all. Only thing they're concerned about is this physical body mm-hmm. and what they can get right now.
Right.
They, as far as the afterlife, as far as God is concerned, as far as the word of God is concerned, as far as their soul, the real them, is non-important to them.
Right.
Many people look at themselves like they would look at a squirrel or a dog.
No life after this life.
You know, we're just animals. No, we're not animals. God didn't make us an animal. He made us a three-part human being directly connected to God and Christ by the spirit that he placed in us, which is the breath of life that he breathed into Adam thousands of years ago. And Adam became a living soul after God breathed into him the breath of life.
Amen.
And all of us have that breath of life in us. And that separates us from dogs, cats, fish, and animals.
So there is an animal kingdom and there's the humankind.
Yeah.
And so this is what I want to say to the backslider. Well, what is a backslider, evangelist? That's a person who had his hand, that Bible said, to the plow, meaning you were walking in the way of God, but you started looking back in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You started looking back to see, like, what was it, Sodom and Gomorrah?
Mm-hmm.
Where God told him to escape the city
Lot,
because he was going to bring fire on that city and destroy it. But she was looking back.
Connected to it.
And this is how some of us so-called Christians are. We're so connected to the world that we're not going to humble. And pride, God just say pride. Pride keeps you from repenting.
Yeah.
Because you think you're already holy. Well, God don't overlook my fornication because I'm once saved, always saved. But he just told you different demons that is tied to sexual impurities. Number one, if you're not really serious about a person, why would you be laying up with that person? Because you got a demon. What did I just say? A demon of lust?
Sexual
you got
impurity.
Lust, adultery, fornication, all these different groupings. It's sexual impurities. But he said the reason a lot of people won't repent because they're full of pride. That's why when Nicodemus come to Jesus by night, quote, he was a big time man, didn't want nobody to see him, you know, associated with this little prophet running around saying he was the son of God. He came to Jesus by night. And he did say, what must I do to be saved?
That's right.
Because he realized what he was, what he had didn't compare to what Jesus was doing.
That's right.
But a lot of you listening to me right now, you know you're in a backslidden state, but you're full of pride and you won't humble yourself and say, Lord, forgive me. Rededicate yourself to God. Lord, I messed up. We've all have sinned and come short. Lord, I messed it up. But, Lord, I want to be called your son, your daughter. Restore back to me, Father.
Yes.
Like the prodigal, he come back. He say, after he had said, Dad, I want my money, I'm going to go out here and live my life to the fullest.
That's right.
Dad didn't try to stop him. He said, go ahead.
That's right.
But when that boy realized after his money was gone, all his friends was gone, he was down there eating with the hogs. But his dad was rich.
That's right.
He left all those riches to go out in the world to be accepted by the world. And he said, when my friends left, my money was gone, I'm down here eating with the hogs. In the Jewish customs, hogs was the nastiest thing you could even find.
That's right.
And I can tell you, we've been to some hog pens growing up, and they stunk. They played in the mud all the time. They were nasty.
Yeah.
A hog eat anything. But he was down there eating with them.
That's where,
this is the example of how low sin will take you.
That's right. And that's the reason why we're teaching on this lesson tonight, how to demon-proof your house and temple of God, which is your physical body. Because that's what devils and demons desire to do, is to take you to your lowest spot and destroy you. Jesus
and
said
in that scripture about the swine, this is how they said, just suffer us to go in the pit. Now, you see the prodigal, he reduced down to the swine level. This is how God characterized sin. When you've been in your father's kingdom and you turn away from God just to go back in the world to serve that God, God say it'll take you away from your proper place, and people start saying, he used to be a Christian, but man, he out here acting worse than us. Man, he cuss more than we do. See, the devil, I'm going to tell you something, he's sneaky. The devil got workers out in his vineyard just like God got workers. So where evangelists, we're bringing souls in the kingdom, the devil have his satanic evangelists drawing you to the satanic kingdom. Now, I bet you ain't never heard that. But the devil have prophets. He got evangelists. He got false prophets. Read. False bishops, false teachers. Whatever God got, the devil duplicated. So you might be lured out there and seeing, you find it. I think it's in Luke.
Well, there's so many scriptures.
But listen to this. First, you got to be led by the Holy Spirit and search your home, okay, and possessions for cursed objects. Sometimes we do have to do some house cleaning. Things that we bought in just haphazardly, search your house. Now, I'm not saying to pull down every picture, and but there's some things you know you need to get out the house. If you've been watching pornography and things, stop letting your flesh turn that channel late at night. That's when that devil gets it. We say during the week, around 12 o'clock, and he going to tell you, okay, go on in. Okay, your wife's asleep, but go on and cut that channel off. See what that's a demon spirit. Destroy the objects. You can't destroy someone else's possession, but you can anoint them with oil and exercise that object. So when you anoint them with the holy oil and you say, I cast you out, that person might say, you know what, I don't want this amulet or whatever they were or some demonic. Now, Ouija boards, if you got your kids got Ouija boards in their house, get it out your house because them things, they're like a magnet to drawing demons. You got it? They're like a magnet. Well, you could be talking, I'm going to find it.
Amen. The things that we're talking about on tonight or this evening, we're probably going to have to continue it because we have a lot in reference to demon-proofing your house and your temple of God. And we have a whole lot of scriptures here. We got a lot of different spirits that we want to talk about now. Because we have here also the spirit of death. We have the spirit of jealousy. We have a lying spirit. We have a perverse spirit. We have this spirit of haughtiness and spirit of heaviness. And also the spirit of whoredoms, the spirit of infirmity, and a deaf and dumb spirit.
And that's when you can't talk to
them. You know, and not only do we have these different spirits here, but we also have how you deal with them.
So here's the scripture. And we're going to close out after this scripture. We're going to close out with prayer and just coming against some spirits. But it's in Mark 5. It says, and they came over to the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he come out of the ship, now this is how the devil knows who God is. So he came out of the ship. Immediately there met him out of the tomb. Didn't he just say how they be over in graveyards, mm-hmm. these dead folk?
Mm-hmm.
Necromancing, sleeping with dead folk. When he come out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who was his dwelling was among the tombs. He laid out there. He lived out there in the graveyard. You're talking about Halloween? This is truly a Halloween story.
Yeah, it sure is.
And no man could bind him. Remember what we say, bind meant you put chains on him, he break the chains up. See, Hollywood can't even manipulate this. no one with chains, because that he had been often bound and fettered and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder, he break them, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. He had supernatural strength. And always at night and day, he was in the mountains howling and acting foolish. And in the, and I paraphrase that because that's how them demons act. They got to bring that fear to you. And in the tombs, crying and cutting themselves with stones. But when Jesus saw him afar off, it's the Holy, he ran and he fell down and worshiped. He knew who Jesus was.
That's right.
See, that human man in him was tormented.
Yes.
The human spirit, like Bishop said, you're a three-part being. You got your body, your
soul,
and your spirit. Okay? That soul cried out. Amen? Because he was being tormented. He cried with a loud voice and said, the demon spoke and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? So there was three entities talking there. It was the body, the soul, and the spirit. Okay? That demon spirit spoke out. That man, poor, he fell down. But the demon spirit was speaking out. And he asked him, what is thy name? That's all Jesus said. He said, Legion. What did he say? 3,000? He said,
over 3,000.
He said, for we are many. See how he try to put fear? There's a lot of us in here. We're doing deliverance. Some of them tell you it's 10,000 demons. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, come on, Adam. You're lying. You're a lying spirit. And then he said, and he besought him much that he would not send them away out the country. They got to inhabit something.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they say when they're cast out of your temple, they're going to go around looking. But he asked Jesus, he said, don't send us away out the country. He said, now there was not unto the mountains where we say swine, they was feeding. Okay? All the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, he gave them authority, and the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine, and the herd, they had more sense than a lot of people. They felt when that unclean spirit came in them, they just ran on off in the river and killed themselves. It didn't kill the demons.
Mm-mm.
But they have to have something to destroy.
That's right. And one thing I want to bring out before Evangelist going on,
mm-hmm.
the demons went into the swine.
Right.
And the swine to the Jews and the Hebrews is an unclean animal.
Right.
So the unclean, foul, wicked spirits went to an unclean animal and killed them.
Mm-hmm.
But they wanted to kill that man.
Right.
That's what demons want to do. They want
destroy,
to steal,
you.
Kill,
and
destroy.
Yes, yes. And he say, and they came to Jesus and to see that the man possessed with the devil and had been had the legion sitting. Say he was sitting and clothed. What we talked about that mind. Mean his mind was right.
That's right.
After Jesus cast that out of him, he put on his clothes. Cause say he was naked out there. You couldn't bind him. I mean fetters. He tore them off. Clothes. He said, but when the people saw him, they said, wow, is this the same one be out there in the grave howling at night acting foolish?
Mm-hmm.
Clothed and in his right mind. Amen? And they began to pray him to depart. They asked Jesus, you get on up out of here because you just destroyed a herd of our sheep.
Swine.
Now, they weren't looking at the man being delivered. See, this is how the world do.
Mm-hmm.
They looking at their money source. We were going to sell these to them Greeks because them Greeks eat pigs. We don't, but we going to herd them in as a money maker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like now.
Mm-hmm.
Certain things you don't eat, but you grow marijuana because like that lying preacher here in Atlanta, we'll grow a field of marijuana so we can bring folks in the kingdom. Okay, you're a liar. You're just looking at the money source.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So they wanted Jesus. They told him, get out there, our city. We don't want you here.
Mm-mm.
Rather than see the deliverance of that man, they was telling him to get out the city.
Wow.
I tell you, it's good teaching tonight. Hey, I don't talk myself happy. Ain't you, Bishop? So we're going to close it out in prayer. We're glad for those who joined in to hear us. And be sure, like I said, the 28th is coming up so quickly.
That's true.
7:30. We will have Bishop Curtis.
Earthquake Kelly.
Yes.
He will be on the program on October the 28th at 7:30.
Teaching on the Nemos cycle.
The Nemos cycle. And he's going to also talk about some of the things that we talked about tonight in reference to how to demon-proof your house and the temple of God. Now, what we're going to do before we pray, we got several other things we need to talk about. Mm-hmm. So we're going to continue this. We're going to continue this same teaching next Saturday at 7:30.
So we'll call it part two.
Part two, because it goes in depth. Right. So.
Right.
Amen. Now, we still have, we got a few minutes here. A call-in number is 319-527-6058. So if there's any questions or any thoughts that anyone would like to talk on, we have a few minutes left.
And we, like I said, we know it's Mental Awareness, Mental Illness Month. And if you have someone that's been vexed with a demon, and I'm going to just say it like that, you got them on all kinds of pills for schizophrenia, all this, why don't you try God first?
Amen.
And I'm not talking about taking them to some fanatic. When they say, when Jesus went to that guy in Gadarenes, you see what I'm saying? But you've been running to the wrong sources. You got demons or ghosts in your house. You go and talk about some paranormal, what they call them?
Yeah, paranormal investigators
and
stuff. And
all they is they don't know God.
No, but see, when you do those things like that, when you invite those type of people into your home, you're opening doors and you're inviting more spirits to come in your house. That's the reason why many times when you call those people, they don't help you, because they're operating
under the
guise of foul spirits.
And we told you, Satan ain't going to cast out Satan. Now, what they'll do, they'll transfer to a larger demon, but they're not going to come against themselves.
No.
And you go on and you're burning sage, and like I said last Saturday, putting salt all around your door to keep goats, and my mom now used to call them haints, all up in your house, rattling pots, throwing stuff down. Now, we grew up with that. I tell you what.
Folks, it's real.
It's real. We had to have them. But this is why I say my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So it was a song out then called, you know, I bought this house. You know I'm boss, and ain't no ghost going to run me out. Now, that was a country song.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd be down one part of the basement or in a lower level of the house, and they'd be up there dancing up a storm because it was an old tavern. You see what I'm saying? We didn't know how to go and bind up stuff back in the day. I'm talking almost 70 years ago. We didn't know how to do this stuff. So we just lived with them because we was poor and that was the only house for rent that we could get. But now you have authority. Now you know how to go in there and bind up. You better not come up in my house.
That's right.
Because I'm going to run everything out except Jesus, okay? Don't think you're coming up in here. You don't own this house. What did we say? What is the lesson? You cleanse in your house, your temple, and your natural house.
Because
a lot of you done bought stuff up in the house. You need to get it out tonight.
That's right. Get it out.
Open doors to demons.
That's right.
We're going to All right. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for this time and the word, Lord God. We thank you for our listening audience. Lord God, and tonight, as they go to their individual homes, Lord God, we ask that you open their eyes, Lord God. If there's anything in that house that is not like you, Lord God, give them discernment, what you need them to take out. Lord God, we ask that your spirit be with them, guide them, protect their minds, Lord God. Lord God, we ask that you give them strength in the spiritual realm. Those that have backslidden, Lord, turn their heart back to you, Lord God. Let there be a crying out to you, Father God. Let them seek you, Lord God, as never before.
Yes.
Lord God, we just want to thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for all you've done, how you raised us. And when we didn't have nothing, you made us a roof over our head, shoes on our feet, clothes on our back. Lord God, we can't thank you enough. David said, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough.
Yes.
Father God, and we just praise you because you are worthy to be praised.
Yes.
Lord God, we will not close this program out without having an altar call.
Hello.
Every time we open these prayer lines, it's going to be an altar call because there's somebody out there got to hear the word.
Yes.
And Lord God, we're just going to be humble servants doing what you called us to do in this last generation.
Amen.
And Lord God, we break off demonic strongholds over the listening audience that has had them bound up for years. They're in a Nemo cycle. They don't know how to get out. But right now, we speak the power of God through these airwaves.
Amen.
And we break your hold off their mind.
In the name of Jesus.
Come out of them in the name of
Jesus.
I bind you up and I cast you out.
Oh, the blood
hallelujah.
Of Jesus.
Come out.
In Jesus' name.
And be set free.
In the name of
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. And
amen.
I know that
amen.
Was authoritative prayer, but hey, that's how I pray. So hey, with that, we're going to have a good time next Saturday. We hope to see you soon. Invite a friend, invite whoever you know that may be bound up, need some spiritual assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And we will see you next Saturday, same time, same place, 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. And we hope you enjoyed the show tonight. So be blessed. Bye-bye.
Amen.